World leaders are being urged to follow the lead of China and the US and ratify the Paris Climate Change Agreement in what's being described as an historic new era of climate cooperation. Chinese President Xi Jinping and US President Barack Obama made the announcement to ratify the climate change agreement on the sidelines of the G20 summit in the Chinese city of Hangzhou over the weekend. The move by the world's two biggest polluters is being seen as a major step forward for the accord, which aims to cut greenhouse gas emissions and keep the global average rise in temperatures below 2 degrees Celsius. Indeed, President Obama says ratifying the deal is the best chance we have for saving the planet.
This is not a fight that any one country, no matter how powerful, can take alone. That's why last December's Paris Agreement was so important. Nearly 200 nations came together as a strong, enduring framework to set the world on a course to a low-carbon future. And someday we may see this as the moment that we finally decided to save our planet.
That's U.S. President Barack Obama announcing the U.S. deal with China on climate change and the ratification. UN Chief Ban Ki-moon says he'll now host a high-level meeting of world leaders in New York later this month to push more countries to help bring the Paris Accord into force. Michael Gerard is one of America's leading climate law scholars. He's professor of environmental and energy law at Columbia Law School and director of the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law. He joins me now. Very good morning to you. Enormous amounts of fanfare around this ratification of the Paris Accord by China and the US. Just how significant is this moment? And will it lead to what is expected?
It's extremely important. The prior climate agreements failed largely because neither the United States nor China, the two largest emitters, agreed to take action. Now they have both agreed to take action. This was an absolutely essential step on the way to solving the problem.
Will it automatically lead to a ratification surge, which some now say can be expected?
Well, it won't be automatic, but we're hearing quite a few other countries say that they're going to sign on. In the Paris Agreement, Paris meeting last December, virtually every country in the world agreed to sign, so there's no reason to believe that is not going to actually happen.
What's the legal implication of actually ratifying the accord, having already signed it?
Well, it means that the government has formally agreed to do it, and not just the diplomats who are present at the negotiations. So it's an important legal step.
So what pressure does China and America signing it actually put on the other countries to ratify as well?
Well, it's very difficult for other countries to come up with a good reason not to ratify if the two largest emitting countries have already done it. Additionally, we're seeing the emergence of emissions trading schemes, and countries will want to participate in those schemes and will want to take advantage of the economics of that and of the technology exchanges that will occur.
So 23 nations have so far ratified the Paris Agreement, but they account for just over 1% of all emissions. Even if many of the other countries step forward to make the Paris deal law, does this still fall short of what's needed to meet the goal of less than 2 degrees of warming?
The Paris Agreement set forth that objective, and all of the countries of the world put on the table their pledges to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Unfortunately, those pledges do not add up to nearly enough to keep us within the 2-degree measure, and so the countries agreed to come back every 5 years and try to do better next time. We're headed in the right direction, but not yet at the right pace.
So the straight answer is no.
The straight answer is no, this is not enough to achieve the objective.
Going forward, are we likely to see more attempts at these broad global multilateral agreements? Or will we, you know, there's clearly a school of thought that we will move away from that style of doing things with regards to climate?
I think we'll see both. I think we'll see these broad agreements, but much of the actual action will happen on more industry-specific levels. And so the agreement that the presidents of China and the U.S. just signed speaks specifically about reduction in emissions from the airline industry and also from hydrofluorocarbons, which are a very intense greenhouse gas emitting gas. So I think we'll see a lot of industry or chemical-specific agreements in addition to the broader agreements.
Given the long history of difficulty in reaching global agreed binding targets for climate reduction. Some would say that actually in the future you need to pass things out. You need to separate the largest emitters. You need to create a grouping of those countries that are, you know, experiencing the greatest impact, and have them deal with these questions separately so that you don't have all of this pressure on a global binding target. Is it your view that there are more workable scenarios using, for example, the G8 or the G20 to get the big polluters together rather than everyone at once?
I think there will be lots of different meetings and lots of different forums. It is useful to have a big annual meeting with all the countries, but as I say, I think most of the real work is going to be done in smaller assemblages. Some of them will be regional, some of them will be industry-specific, some of them will be the largest countries that have the most economic power. The task is so big that it'll be many, many different forums for trying to solve it.
Mm. It was once described to me that we might end up actually in the future with a sort of a global network of bilateral and smaller group agreements that form what is a sort of global pact. Is that the vision of things as you see it?
Yes, I think that's likely. I think one analogy is the nuclear arms control, with not one big central agreement, but lots of different agreements that have added up to so far keeping the world safe. But it'll be many different things happening in many different times and places.
All right, Michael Girard, we'll leave it there. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Michael Girard is Professor of Environmental and Energy Law at Columbia Law School and Director of the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law. He's also Chair of the Faculty of Columbia University's Earth Institute.
Discover the best of RN on Facebook. Simply search for ABC RN.